some taxing matters in the UAE. Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for joining us. From today, the United Arab Emirates has introduced a 9% corporation tax. Before, there were no taxes on business profits, and this made its cities, Dubai and Abu Dhabi, very attractive destinations for international companies. And one of the reasons for bringing in this tax is to add a new revenue stream, since the government is trying to rely less on money generated from oil. But as our Middle East correspondent Samir Hashmi told me, some businesses will be exempt.
Companies don't have to pay a tax for $100,000, which they make in profit. So any amount that exceeds that would be taxed at 9%. Now, this has been done to protect small businesses and startups in the country. In addition to that, the country has also allowed some of the economic zones, free economic zones, as they're called. Companies that are registered and operating from those zones will not be obliged or not be asked to pay this tax. But nevertheless, most companies operate outside those special economic zones, so they will have to pay tax from today.
And are they happy about it? I presume that's going to hit their profits.
Yeah, I mean, no one wants to say it openly, but if you talk to them off record, a lot of companies are worried about it, especially small businesses and also startups, which don't make huge profits because they think it's going to impact profitability. But from the UAE's point of view, they think that this will help them in the long term in terms of attracting more foreign companies, which is quite interesting because until now, the UAE has actually established itself as a financial hub in the region because of the tax-free status that it enjoyed. However, what works in the UAE's favor is that the corporate tax is only 9%, which is still lower compared to the global average. And even if you look in the region.
So the BBC's Middle East correspondent, Samir Hashmi, thank you so much for joining us in Marketplace.
Nice talking to you. Thank you.
Now let's do the numbers. European and Asian stocks have rallied after the House of Representatives passed a bill to raise the US debt ceiling. Europe's region-wide Stoxx 600 rose 0.8%, and London's FTSE 100 added 0.5%. And inflation in the Eurozone is coming down. Latest figures show that the rate of price rises eased to 6.1% in May, down from 7% in April. There's been a rush to stock up on fuel in Nigeria in anticipation of a sharp rise in prices of oil-based products. This is after the newly elected President Bola Tinubu announced a plan to scrap fuel subsidies in order to reduce government spending. The BBC's business reporter Nkechi Ogbonna sent us this report from Lagos.
Prices have skyrocketed in the last 24 to 48 hours. Normally, the price of fuel, the government set price, was about 40 cents per liter. But we have seen reports that some fuel stations are selling as high as $1.30 a liter, almost 300% increase. Mm-hmm. People are fighting, struggling just to get fuel. The queues are so long. I've spoke to some people, commuters, who say they've been on those queues for up to 6 to 7 hours, and they're not even close to the fuel station enough to get fuel.
Nkechi Ogbonna reporting. For the first time, people in the UK are able to order driverless cars to their doorsteps. The service called Fetch has been officially launched in the city of Milton Keynes near London. But the cars don't drive themselves, so how do they work? Here's the BBC's Nikki Cardwell.
Fetch cars are driverless but not autonomous. They're controlled by a remote operator who has a 360-degree view of the roads using cameras built into the vehicle. There are also anti-crash safety systems in the operating software. Customers book the electric cars through an app. They're delivered driverless to any location within a 4-mile radius of Milton Keynes city centre. The customer then drives them themselves like a normal car. When the rental period is up, the operator resumes control and collects the vehicle.
Fetch says the cars have been running on a trial basis for the last 18 months without incident, and the British company that makes the cars says it's the first service of its kind in Europe. Kusha Kavi is the chief executive of Fetch.
I would say out of 1,000 miles of remotely controlling a car on public roads, we've had zero incidents. I mean, safety is everything for us. Safety is the first thing that we, when we started the company, had in mind. We have a rigid safety guidelines that we follow. We follow the safety guidelines proposed to us by the government, and we're going to continue to do so.
Kusha Kavi, chief executive of Fetch there. Now, do you fancy owning a 200-year-old castle? Well, for 37 $1,000, you can. The catch is you'll need nearly $15 million to renovate it. Brough Lodge is on the Scottish island of Fetlar, where only 61 people live. The current owner is Brough Lodge Trust, and Davina Gupta spoke to the Trust's treasurer, Drew Ratter, and asked him why was he selling the castle for such a small amount.
It's basically a token figure. What we're really looking for is people who will take this on and do a good job afterwards. So we've had quite a lot of interest, some of it very constructive and useful. In fact, we're in negotiation with somebody, and some of it, shall I say, perhaps less credible.
And what is the price of renovation? Because the figures may vary. Some are even saying that the end cost could be as high as $12 million.
That's pounds, but yes, it's quite probable. It's a very large and complex building by our standards. It's had about £500,000 spent on it already, renewing the roof and stabilising the whole building. So it's in decent structural condition. But to turn it into the kind the retreat that would be our ambition to see will cost at least 10, probably £12 million.
You know, I don't think I'd take on that job, but I might visit when it's done. Drew Ratter there, and that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Thanks to Alex Bell for producing. Our editor today was Ollie Dalbert Hansen, and I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks for listening.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.